All right, well, let's pray. Father, just sobering to hear how these things happen to all of us, or to people we know. They don't happen in an isolated way. Sometimes they do come in multiples, and so we pray for these friends of Anita's and friend of Becky's. Lord, you have brought them, Becky and Anita, into these lives for a particular purpose, and pray that you would guide how that service works from Anita and Becky, and just show healing, show yourself to these people. And Lord, all the requests that we will have on the prayer email, Lord, the cartilages, again, if a need shows up, the cartilages are always helping, Lord, and we pray that we would do same for them, that you give comfort. We know you promise all the things, your presence, your comfort, comfort of the body of Christ, the word of God. And I pray all that would be super evident, in their experience. And, Lord, we have got to thank you for your work with Susie and the Rahab project. Just the way that's working, Lord, how you that sounds, Lord, how biblical and how all the testimonies over the years. We just pray that you would open hearts and convert souls, convert lives, save from destruction, and just really protect Susie or protect her in this ministry. We thank you for the results there. I thank you for this class and the encouragement that you have built into this class, Lord. It's the Holy Spirit. We thank you for it and how we see it manifested in the way people serve each other here. Pray that would even increase, make us known for that, make us encouraged by it, and just help when we spend time in the Word that you have set this up so that we study your scripture. We're not just guessing and pontificating, Lord. We have your scripture to guide and the testimony of many witnesses. So we thank you for that. Pray that you would be heard today through the word and through our teaching. And we thank you and pray all that in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Judy and I were gone a little while. We've missed being here, and we went on a 10-day trip with the Trailblazers, which is normally the senior group. There's one church, it's a friend of mine, there's this called Adult Plus. It sounds like a kind of product. I don't know. So I don't know if you do, but Trailblazers, but I know you're wondering how Judy and I could go being as young as we are.
You were wondering.
Layla's definitely wondering that. We, along with several other people in this class, see, did I write them down? I'll mention them. But we got exemptions to go even with our youth. So we are known as junior trailblazers. I don't even know what age it will be before you get the real deal. But anyway, it was super fun. It was good, folks. Our grandkids, when we told them we were going to France and couldn't stay home to play with them, they said to our daughter, Katie, why would they go to France? We're more fun. Which is a good point. I mean, they are super fun. But so are the Moonies and the Woodruffs and Donna Brand. Oh, yeah, Donna and Hunter Goff. Hunter, look, this is this guy. Super fun and a little bit of a troublemaker. There's still trouble to be made in the junior trail pleasure. Oh, Milliken's, right, I'm straight. Milliken's where I saw Milliken's. Milliken's, definitely. Anybody else that I forget? I was nodding off on the bus a good minute. I might have missed a few people. But anyway, we were able to also, while we were there, we were able to listen to the Sunday school class. Thank you, Bill Brazil, for his international ministry of Zoom. It was great. We really appreciate it. And so got to hear Tim's lesson and then I've listened to Jim since I've been back. So continuing the study of the fruit of the Spirit. And it was great. I really love being able to connect. I'm looking on there like, oh, look who's in Sunday school. It was good. So we are continuing the study of the fruit of the Spirit. And as Jim Carlson points out, we're spending a whole quarter on two verses. So, might as well read the verses. And that is Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And what almost appeared to me to be a pretty straightforward study, the fruit of the Spirit has just really been rich. I've really enjoyed studying it, listening to Tim and Jim. So that being said, just going through the list today, we get to the fruit, the characteristic of goodness. And what is there to say about goodness? Like, it just seems like, okay, we should be good. I mean, it's kind of straightforward. What else is there to say? But hopefully a few things, hopefully 20 minutes of it at least. But there's so much. That's another thing. Like I taught love early. It's like, okay, it's just so huge. And goodness is very similar. So you have to just kind of go through it, looking at an angle of it. But what to say about goodness? And actually, as I studied it, I feel like they're all practical. They're all relevant. But this is one so practical and relevant. So think about your schedule tomorrow. What you have to do tomorrow. Could be routine, random, whatever. Your day tomorrow can be characterized by goodness. That's why I feel like, again, it's real life. Should be. This should be characterized by goodness. So that's what your day should be characterized by. So why do I say that? Jim actually read this when he taught on kindness 2 weeks ago. So it's Ephesians 2:8-10. This is where this kind of frames our discussion today. Ephesians 2:8-10. Very familiar passage. So I'll read it. It's from the ESV. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works that no one may boast. Okay, that's a very foundational verse and principle for all of us. And then verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for, listen to this, what characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit are we created for in this verse? Y'all know that it's good works, goodness, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is what we need to meditate on today. This is super important. The Greek root word there in Ephesians is the same one as Galatians 5, as the fruit of the Spirit, goodness. And I can't really pronounce it. It's agathousune. Is that right, Tim? Or,
oh, yeah.
You're right. You would put it in a symbol of, yeah. The simple truth, though, with that word, that Greek word, is not goodness in the general sense of, no, we might need it. Chairs. Y'all have chairs enough back there? Oh, sorry. Okay. I know y'all love me pointing that out, too.
Was that awesome?
Welcome.
Let's start back over.
We love y'all. So the simple truth of this word, created for good works, and the word for the fruit of the Spirit of goodness.
And it means to do good. It's an action word, to do good. I was telling Judy, we talked about it, it's like, this is a lesson for the Marthas, the Mary and Martha story, the ones who lead with the language of love, of action, of work. It's very actionable. And for those of us who may not, it's a challenge to that. So doing good works. So again, this is nothing earth-shatteringly new, but it's almost a comfort that this is absolutely something you can do. You can do tomorrow, you can do this afternoon to do good. So I'm going to break it down like this. Why do good works, where, and how? Why, where, and how? So under the why part of this, we just saw the big why is that it's our purpose. Our purpose is we were created to do good works. I mean, aren't all of the fruit of the Spirit, all of those are God's will for us? Love, joy, peace. They're all clearly God's will for us. But in a way, goodness is how you do all of them. I'm making that statement, you kind of think through it, but it feels like this is the way you show certainly love and patience and gentleness, all the things. This is how you do them. I've appreciated, so even when you hear the stories like Tim, when you were teaching and talking about your high school reunion, and the guy was by himself, and you went over to talk to him, and you were just really open about your conversation with him. It was great, but it was very encouraging to him. He even made a note of it.
It was very hard for me.
It was hard. Well, he did say that he felt like you weren't like that in high school, which is hard for us to imagine this with you, but that was a great, great conversation. That was your way of exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit to that guy. That was in action, walking over there to do it. Jim did a great job on kindness a couple of weeks ago, and he quoted this from Jerry Bridges. Goodness is kindness in action. It's a very important thing. It's kind of all of them in action, but it's for sure kindness in action. So just thinking through that, there's a lot of why that we do these good works. The big one being that's our purpose. But that verse 10 of Ephesians 2, where it talks about us being prepared for these works. Jerry Bridges in this book, The Fruitful Life, it's about the fruit of the Spirit. It's an outstanding book. And he spent some time on it, more than I have ever, on that verse. And he talks about the purposefulness of that verse. So I'll just say it this way. The way that verse says it, we are prepared to do these works. We are his workmanship. That has a craftsman side to it. We are crafted to do the works he's given. So the giftedness that you have when you show up and you're doing things you may not even think you are. And that's often the case. You're like, I'm just not good at this, but I found myself in this. He crafted you for that work. So we are prepared for the work. And then the verse says, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The works are prepared. The works are prepared. So the sense of what that struck me, the sense of randomness, it's sometimes like circumstances just seem so random. If we meditate on this, we can feel that he's actually prepared us to meet this need, and he's prepared this need. He's prepared these works, which God prepared in advance. So we'll talk more about that kind of later, but that's the big why is that he prepared us to do it, not just in general, go out there and random acts of kindness. It's not that. This is prepared to do work with that person that you're meeting with or whatever. So we can be confident that that's true. He's going to give us the power to do it, and he has prepared us to do it. So that is a why. Other why answers to doing the good work. We've talked about this when we're talking about love, but the proverb generous, if you're generous, you'll receive generosity. There's a reward element to it. There's a reward that we get. Just the knowledge of doing the good work is a blessing. Hebrews 6:10. Jim Holland and I have often talked about that God will not forget the love that you've shown for his people. He will reward the love you show for his people and continue to do it, which I always love. This idea of good works seems to be a lifestyle of good works. So
actually showing him.
You show God.
Show.
Right, that's right. That's a great point. You show God the love by loving his people. Yeah, that is a great point. So many, many rewards. Another why, it's a great testimony to the world. And I scribbled it here to make sure to say this is not random acts of kindness. I was thinking of the verse, I had to look it up, where if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you will receive rewards. But so this is in the name of God. Even if you don't speak the name of God to someone you're helping, you're doing it, and you may speak the name. We've all been able to do that at times. But so think about that. I was thinking about the testimony to the world aspect of it. We have lots of examples around here, but I was thinking in my family history back in the 70s. This little story, and people who know me, I don't want them to laugh at these comments. No laughing. Because in the 70s, we were going to paint our house, and my dad had bought ladders and drop cloths and paint for me and my brother and my dad to paint our house. See, everybody's doing good and all that. Thank you. Would have been disaster. This is not the handiest group of men in the universe. So, it was already, and Dad's was 1976, and we were actually playing tennis with the group, and Dad had a heart attack. And he survived it, lived for many years. But one of the funny side stories, I started thinking about these. So Dad has his heart attack, he's in the hospital. Dave Lewis, do y'all know Dave Lewis? If you don't, you should. He's a hoot. I was there when he visited Dad, and he goes, "Hey, John, how you doing? Look like you're doing okay." He goes, "Since you're not going to be needing that tennis racket anymore, can I have your tennis racket?" Didn't sound like Dave. Anyway, so Dad has heart attack. The mom and Dad had been hosting a Bible study on Thursday nights for years. It ended up being 9 or 10 years. Frank Barker spoke at our house, and it was not a huge house. It was always crowded and just great folks. So the men from that Bible study came over and painted the house. And so in a day, and they did a fantastic job. And mom's always recounts this story. There was a neighbor across the street, neighbor, I think that's where this neighbor was. She had never been able to talk to them about the Lord. They weren't super happy about Thursday nights.
Oh, and all this happy.
Right. And so, but they saw this team of guys come over and do a great job of painting, and they were jovial, just a great group. So they came over to mom and said, "Who's that crew? We want to hire that crew." to do that. And she told them it was from a Bible study, and they couldn't believe it. And so she was able to share Christ with four spiritual laws. Back in the day, she did four spiritual laws. And I can't remember, I talked to Virginia. This is one of those things you wish your mom was still around to ask. But I can't remember if anybody prayed to receive Christ. But they would never have given her the opportunity. But that act of service, just that act of goodness. So that's the type thing. That's another benefit of good works. So that's just a snapshot of why we do the good works. That is meant to encourage and motivate us. It does me thinking about it. Another one to spend a moment on is where. So where do we do the good works? And put it in that category, because that is a way to look. It's just where you end up in your life. Sometimes you go, I end up in this job. Trust me, if you're in insurance for 45 years, you never planned on it. You might want to grow up to play football in Tennessee or be a scientist or all the things you guys. Nobody grows up wanting to be in insurance. And yet I did. And so there's times I was always doing this. Like, you know, Judy, I just feel like I'm not in the right place. I need to be in full-time Christian work. That's what I wanted. But I just never did, you know. This is the type thing, though, when you think about God preparing works beforehand, preparing you, and putting you with people that you may be able to serve that you never would have. So the where often determines what we do. And so that's kind of the topic. That's why I said where. In that verse, Ephesians 2:10, it says that the work that he, the good works which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. And that walk denotes this ordinary life. The ordinary life is usually not spectacular things. This is what Regis said about that. Yeah. So this is the focus on your work, vocation, whether it be going to work or whatever. It's your vocation, your calling that you go, I mean, I don't know if this was my calling. I'm just doing this job. But, yeah, it is your calling. And that is the great encouragement. So Bridget says, most of our opportunities for good deeds will arise out of the course of our daily lives. The challenge is for us to be alert for these opportunities and see them not as interruptions or inconveniences, but as occasions for doing the good work God has planned for us. In your vocation, that is how much time do you spend, such a majority of your time you spend in that vocation. So that's something I really, really wish I had thought about more and better while I was working, but my vocation now is I've got other responsibilities and responsibility to use my time well. So this is what I need to think about. It's calling. Bridget says, vocation, most honorable vocations exist to meet the needs of people. So don't miss this. Most of our time is spent doing our vocation. So we can help people. So think of work. When you go to work and you're just doing the task, it is not just to get the paycheck. It is to help people. And we know lots of people. And everybody that has a role at a job is doing that. You're meeting needs. So work is one. Another one, all of these are so basic, you miss them. So the opportunity for good works at home. Home may be whatever it is for you, but family or your parents or there's just a variety of things that you have opportunities. This, I read somewhere in my reading this week where this one of the pastors that he was talking to a youth conference, and he was telling the youth, it's a lot easier for you to clean up after this weekend conference than to clean out dad's garage back home. Wow. do so much more with that. And of course, then I was thinking the last minute here, I was thinking at home. So when the Bible study was going on at my parents' house, my role was to take the Dodge, this little, like a little tiny station wagon, the Dodge. You know, remember what was there? Was a terrible car. It was a hatchback. What? I can't believe I can't remember. We would come up to Briarwood Church. This was the old church, and the church would allow us to use chairs. So those old metal clank. You remember the metal chairs when they're beat up and everything? So we would bring 20 or 30 of those, stack them in this thing. That was my brother and I would do that. What kind of attitude do you think 16-year-old John, 17-year-old John had out playing basketball? Your friends and mom's like, go get the chairs. I was joyous. Many things in this. So I was thinking again, that may have been something if I was a youth group thing, I would have done a lot better than at home. So there's a challenge for the things we do at home, the opportunities. They're not just rote things. their way to fill this purpose of doing works. That is, the Bible is full of references where someone we commended for doing good works, but they're just taking care of their family. Just very, what we would consider small, kind of insignificant, but that's what they're known for. So, you know, be encouraged, be more intentional. Think about when you do those things, you're doing them to fulfill your purpose.
Oh, sure, Kelly.
Now, plug for Vacation Bible School. Several years ago, I was talking to someone. They're not in my. Anyway, she said, well, I've already done my Vacation Bible School. And I thought, I don't have any reason not to do Vacation.
Yeah, wow.
And, you know, retirement's not fun.
Yeah.
And I know nothing about this church. Our Sunday school classes, the chapel, and the kitchen.
Yeah.
But in your class, you have helpers, you know, junior helpers, teenager.
Yeah.
They know everything. And you really just follow them where to go. But it's a great opportunity to, for you as the leader. Terry and I did it together last year. And my grandchildren are going to be at camp. They're not even coming this year. And you can work in the kitchen, you can do everything, but it is such a need and such an opportunity.
Yeah.
And children are about my grade level. And just to ask questions and everything. And you can say second grade or above, and they cut and glue and read, you know?
Yeah.
So I just want to encourage, it is goodness to do it.
That's right.
Such a great opportunity.
Yeah.
And those teenage helpers are.
That's a great example.
And I just think of Rob every year.
Yeah.
We need help.
It's a hard thing.
But you are so blessed. And also, you learn songs in these kids' lives, but I have no idea what they are.
Yeah.
But then when I do my Bible club, they all know.
Yeah.
Creative
great connection.
Creative for a purpose.
Yeah.
I've never helped, but all my Bible club girls go. It is phenomenal. It is phenomenal, and I know they need help too.
Yeah.
But it's
everybody.
Great way to
it reminds me of years ago. We had some of the when we were doing the 50th anniversary of Briarwood. We had some of the people who've been around Briarwood a long time, and I remember Tom Harris coming in and talking about. He was the president of a bank, and he took vacation to come and teach Vacation Bible Schools at Briarwood. And it's always a challenge. Just exactly what you're saying.
Doug and Neil Pesky did it.
Oh, did they really?
Yes.
Oh, they'd be so good at it. What's a challenge? Did he? Oh, that's right. That's right. We did see them. Yeah, we did. Jim Carlson sent me some stuff about that. So.
Say I can do Monday or Tuesday or 3 days or 3 days, whatever. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to if you have other things going on.
Right. That's pretty tough to figure out a way to say no to that. No, that's tough. That's a great opportunity. Thank you for that. One of the other areas we're talking about doing good works at work, home, the church, family, so that fits perfectly in. Galatians 6:10. So it's just, you know, just flip the page over from through the Spirit of Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. But that absolutely fits in there. And that's a shout out for our care groups here within the class, which we need to spend some time this summer working on making sure you're new in here. However, we do that, but we have small care groups. We have a leader and several families in a care group. The idea of those is to be aware of needs, and the leader is aware of the needs and lets us know if there's a need that they kind of meet. But also, if the leader has a need, which happens a lot, the group members take care of each other. So you need to be getting to know each other and continuing to go, look, this I've told people before, I love the idea of Sunday school, which a lot of churches get away from. But, like, we don't have to create a place to meet needs. It's here. That is such a blessing. You think about fulfilling your life purpose of doing these kind of work. So the care groups, that is a way we do it practically here. So good works, work, home, church, family, just in general. Jim Carlson, when he was teaching on kindness, had some good stories about people. You remember the guy at the airport, the restroom, mm-hmm. was pleasant, handing out. He worked there. He was handing out towels, I think. I can't remember that he was just known for his kindness and how he affected everybody who walked in there. He affected them mm-hmm. with his kindness. So this is, again, just kind of an attitude. This is so, it's just wherever you find yourself. I like this sentence. Goodness is a disposition to promote the happiness of others. A disposition to promote the happiness of others. I was talking to a good friend of mine who's just a funny guy, Ben May. And he threw this out, but he said, you know, my motto is for me to live as Ben, to die as Ben. Which he's not that way. That's maybe funny, but me to live as Ben. I thought that is pretty funny. All it is for me to live is me. But goodness is a disposition to promote the happiness of others. So why, where, how? I mean, some million ways to go this way, but let's talk about this. But, you know, we kind of talked about physical needs. There's so many of those that come available. Class is fantastic at doing those for each other, but we have just people around us. This made me think immediately of, just so many things hit my mind. One, I was headed for an important place I needed to be, and my car broke down. So I called a friend who's in our class, and he dropped what he was doing. He didn't have time to come help me. It's like, you know, you're a grown man, fix your own car. But this is not that guy. He came and he helped. We recently had a couple, and Judy had tooth issues, and two guys in our class happened to be an endodontist and oral surgeon, and we couldn't have made the trip we made without their helping. Physical needs, that there's a million stories in here of how to do those, but have a disposition to meet those. It's always going to take some effort. So physical needs. Another one is, of course, emotional, spiritual needs. Everything I read these days, God must be wanting me to hear this, because everything I read will mention listening. And one phrase that I haven't been able to shake, unhurried listening. Unhurried listening. It's a great hurried pace these days. So if we're listening, also, you know, there's a million things we can do, but unhurried, focused listening. So I was just thinking this whole realm of how to meet emotional, spiritual needs. And I was thinking, how many times have you said or heard yourself say to someone, that meant so much when you called? That meant so much when you just asked. And it's interesting because a lot of times you go, I'm just going to disturb them. They're busy. They've got something going on. But I had a recent one. This was kind of dramatic is the word, but it struck me. So earlier this month, maybe in the last month, I had a first cousin who was 57 years old. We were very close. His mom and my mom were sisters, and they were just the Fleeners, Kelly, you know. So Robert's 57 years old, contracted a leukemia-like disease, and he passed away. And so, I don't know, we did not know it had progressed as far as it did, but we were getting ready to go to Nashville for 4 or 5 days. And I mean, we're walking out the door and we get this text that Robert is on hospice. And I thought, how's that? I did not know. So we left, we had to go do something with Jenny. And, so I thought, I'm not going to even say goodbye. And so we were out, and we came back Sunday night. He was still alive. He was home. And so Monday, I was like, oh, man, I mean, it's we were texting his brother David, and it was like, it was near the end, and I felt like I needed to go see Robert. And just for the sake of the baby, my mom, but just for the sake of all of it, I thought, I don't, you know, it's just, I'm feeling so awkward about it, like, I'm not going to be even welcome. But I did it. I was like, I will regret if I don't do that. So I went, and he was at home. His brother David and David's wife Laura were there. I didn't know anybody else. There was another 20 people there. It was a guy that I'm really good friends. And they don't know me. I walk in, it's the old dude. Like, they're like, what? It felt intrusive. And so I walked back. David was very sweet, his wife, and Robert was still very, he was cognizant, what would the word be? He was aware. And we had a great moment. I got to hold his hand, like he connected. And so I felt really good about that. But then as I walked through, I just felt like everybody's going, this is just wrong timing. I tell that whole thing to say, when we went to his funeral, Laura, so it would have been his sister-in-law, came up to me and said, I just wanted you to know how much it meant. See how he reacted to you. He reacted to you. He knew you. He rose up out of bed. He was just going to be held in his hand. And I told Laura, you did not have to tell me that. I appreciate that so much. I did. It took a weight off of me because I felt like I just barged into a very intimate family situation. And so I thought, there you go. She didn't have to do that. But just the power of that word to me, I'll never forget. Never forget. And I told her 10 times how much I appreciate it. I will just talk a little things that you think maybe, why do I even need to say it? Say it anyway. There are people in here who are great note writers. When we've gone through hard things, we get notes from people in here, lots of them. And that made me think of a phrase I heard one time, that handwritten notes are like homemade cookies. They're always appreciated. Which is true. Like, it just feels like the same. It's very warm thing. So we have people who do a great job of that. So these are just things to be thinking about. I would say what I have found over the years is if the prompt occurs, mostly don't talk yourself out of it. Because you will call, and we've had people say, how did you know? How did you know to call this time? Literally, we've had that in this class. So these are how to meet the needs. They will be, that won't be easy. A lot of times, Bridges points out this self-sacrificial nature of good deeds. 2 Corinthians 8:3, they gave beyond their ability. They gave money and resources beyond their ability. And I thought that is true, and I liked how Bridges said it. He said, doing good for others, well, often you have to give. You have to give time you don't have. Often this is an act of faith just as much as giving money we think we cannot afford. We will always be too busy to help others unless we truly grasp the importance God puts on doing good deeds for others. It's going to be self-sacrificial, and that sounds good standing here in front of the class, but when you're thinking of the time you're going to give up, it's self-sacrificial. It can be, I don't know if the word is tiring, Galatians 6:9 that says, don't become weary in well-doing. Don't become weary in well-doing. So it can be, you know, it is sacrificial, and that is a great verse. I've always thought about the don't become weary in well-doing. He says, and I'll kind of end this, but he says, true goodness is not only self-sacrificing, but untiring. It is one thing to do good in a few or even a number of isolated instances. It is quite another to face cheerfully the prospect of doing some particular deed of goodness day in and day out for an interminable period of time, particularly if those deeds are taken for granted by the recipients. Another challenge, but true goodness does not look to the recipients or even to the results or of its deeds for the reward. It looks to God alone. And finding his smile of approval, it gains the needed strength to carry on. So that's how I would, that's how I will. And the result of all this is what does fruit do? It brings glory to the producer of the fruit and nourishment to those in need. So we're bringing glory to, and he has to produce in us. Again, this isn't random acts of kindness. This is his spirit and nourishment to people who need it.
John, you talked about a few folks who have been around here a long time, back to old times. And this reminds me of something I heard from Howard Borland years ago. He said, whatever situation, whatever circumstances come into your life, God allows that. And you need to think about what He wants you to do with it.
Yeah. That is a great point. And your first impulse often is, why? You know, it's just random. Why now? Why whatever? But that often is. I mean, that is, do we believe in the sovereignty of God or not?
You know, John, that's a great you brought up a great thing. You know, there are a lot of people coming to that church. But God, for some reason, knew we're a person that needed to be there for now. And I think we always, as a meeting in this class and everywhere, that, they've got some good friends.
Yeah.
They got that handle.
Yeah.
But you don't know what role God may have for you in that service.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to make sure you're alert to the Holy Spirit's prompt.
Yeah.
You know, the person that has someone that died, and you're going, should I go to the house? Should I not?
Yeah.
If you're starting to do that gymnastics in your mind, I think the answer probably is,
that's a great way to put it.
You know, but
that's what it feels like.
Just, you know, that,
I was sitting in front of the house doing those gymnastics.
Yeah. Your situation is a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's why God works in our lives.
Right.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
As Dan Roberts always says, you cannot fake showing up.
Yeah, I literally thought that. So that is true. You can't fake showing up. How much it means to show up. You remember it. You remember people who do. All right, next week, let's see, is that?
Yeah, but I thought you were teaching on something else.
You've got goodness for next week?
Yeah.
We'll have double shot.
No,
You
got to wait. You have to wait to do something else. There we go.
More fruit.
But I just want to make sure. Next week, I have on my calendar to do gentleness aside.
I think that is correct. Yes, I know. I'll look at that.
Do it.
Yeah, I know. We're going to be out of order because I'm not sick last week. All right.
I don't either.
What are you when you're my teach? Sorry, I don't understand. All right, let's close with prayer. God, we are group most blessed and I do pray that we would listen to the prompts and we don't do the gymnastics to talk ourselves out of these works that will be costly at times, but glorify your name, your God who cares, has kindness and compassion. So let us represent you in that. Give us the strength to do that. And we thank you for being here with us, just being present today. In Christ's name, amen.